Brothers and sisters, our first scripture lesson comes from the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 through 30. And I have, I think, the first bulletin printed, so there's a whited out section, and I think it says 117. So if that's right, good. So brothers and sisters, let us listen to God's word. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord, and he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. And when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp, one named Eldad and the other named Medad, and the spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the camp, to the tent, and so they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp." And Joshua, son of Nun, the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, "My lord Moses, stop them." But Moses said to them, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and the Lord would put his spirit on them." And Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. And our New Testament lesson from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, on page 882. Let us listen to God's word. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered together in one place, and suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'They are filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your word, for the way it guides us, leads us, for the way we are able to celebrate the filling of us, of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the ways you blow us like the wind. Blow us to be better, to be more, to serve you. Lord, may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you. May your Spirit lead us and guide us when we go forth. Amen. It's Pentecost. One of the great things I love that our congregation does is the geraniums. It's just this another sign of this moment, this day. Now, it does feel a little bit strange when you look around and for one of the two times this year, you might see this. And if you missed out on it, don't worry. The other was Palm Sunday. See, that's the thing. Two Sundays a year, we break out the red of the Holy Spirit to celebrate. Now, some denominations would probably utter some harsh critiques of us and call us maybe the frozen chosen. Maybe you've heard that once or twice. But the reality is that there is an imbalance in all of us with the triune God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's always amazed me how we in the Reformed Church tend to struggle a little bit with the Spirit. See, we understand the Father and the Son fairly well. We have those images like I talked about with the kids. When you think of a father, there is an image that we have in our heads. When we think of the Son, we all have our image of what Jesus looked like. And what maybe an artist's rendition of him was. And that's what we go to. And sure, we can debate the complexion of God. How God looked as the Father. How God looked as Christ. But let me ask you a question. How do we represent, at least in our minds, the Spirit? Maybe it's from watching too much Scooby-Doo when I was a kid. But when I was really young, I would hear mention of the Holy Spirit, or back then, the Holy Ghost. And I always thought of the white sheet floating in the air. That was always my image of the Holy Spirit. Now, right, wrong, or whatever, that's how I thought of it within my context. And when you think about how artists throughout history have represented the Spirit, it varies in a lot of ways. There's designers of children's Bibles that kind of show us the flaming tongues that sometimes are like somebody's got a candle on their head. Or there's the room filled with fire. And then, as Liam said, there's the dove descending from the baptism of Jesus. You see beams of light taking a cue from when Moses would sit in the presence of God and his face was illuminated. But how do we picture the Spirit? Our depictions are less tangible as our images of the Father and the Son. Because our imagery is so insufficient to fully represent what the Spirit is. How can you represent all that the Holy Spirit does? How do you represent its full theological scope and perspective? When it gets more and more complex and complicated and greater and more, the longer we live our lives, the longer we experience God in our lives, the greater we understand the Spirit. So does that image, that Scooby-Doo image of a floating sheet hold true? No, not at all. That's too condensed down. That's too small. So what do you do? Well, the difficulty as we navigate the Spirit as part of the triune God conversation of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is this overcorrection that can happen. How many of us have ever been driving with someone or driving ourselves and you had to overcorrect? Hopefully you stayed on the road. When your wheels kind of, you realize you're going one way a little too far and you got to correct, and instead of correcting just enough, you do too much and all of a sudden it's like, and you practically go into one of those nice little slides. Hopefully that doesn't happen. But that's the problem with navigating this. If you de-emphasize the Holy Spirit, then there is the problem of when you acknowledge that you need to do more justice to the Holy Spirit, that you overemphasize it to the deterrent of the Father and the Son. It's a hard mix. It's kind of like when you're trying to make a cake and get the right amount of ingredients. I don't know about you, but when I'm baking, I am frustratingly slow on it because I will stand at the measuring cup trying to get that line just perfect. And I realize that is not how baking works. And Ron, you can forgive me for being a poor baker, but I have to try and get it just right. And the problem is we don't really get God in that Trinity part. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, we don't usually get it all right. And so the reality is, what do we do? What do we do with the Holy Spirit? If we can't really give an accurate, real picture of it, if we can't really quantify it and can't truly measure it, sure, there are tests for the Spirit, but really, you can have a conversation with people that will say, oh, the God Spirit was there. And as they're relating what happened, you may or may not raise an eyebrow and go, really? I mean, there are moments where the true test of God's Spirit being present is not in the moment. It's when God's Spirit has moved the people, has shown its presence. That's when we can really see God's Spirit. Hindsight, of course, is 20/20 in that sense. So what do we do? Well, so that we don't get frustrated, confused, or even disenchanted, we need to remember to turn to Scripture. Scripture is that great aid for us. Now, you'll remember a few weeks back that I stated that I do struggle with the Acts 2 aspect of the church. And that's true. But it's more or less a problem not with what happens in Acts 2, but what we do with it, what we do. Because so often our problem is when we see a great moment where obviously God's Spirit is present, what do? We recreate it. We try and recreate every aspect of it. So it's just so. You know, we set up all the elements, everything, so it's just perfect. But it's never perfect because God's Spirit doesn't move always in the same way, in the same moment. And so when you go into places like seminary and everybody says, oh, we're talking about, we would love to get out in ministry and recreate the Acts 2 church. Great. So we're all going to rewind the world to that moment. You're going to recreate first century Judea in Holland, Michigan. How's that going to work out? The problem is we kind of mold the moment and say, God, you're going to be present in this moment. You're going to act in this moment. Really? There's a reason why the image of the wind is so apt and so appropriate with the Holy Spirit. We look at Peter's sermon and we try to recreate it in kind as ministers. We try and recreate every aspect of this. And the reality is, the wind is about as recreatable, as containable, as catchable as the Spirit. You can't contain it. The only one who can control it is God. The only one who can choose when and how and where is God. And so the best that we can do is give space for it. Give space for it. Give it its own place. Allow it to be. Allow it to have a moment to push us. Even when we're uncomfortable, that's the true moment where you know the Spirit is working. When you feel that foot on your backside, just saying, get moving, get going. It's time. This is right. Now, are we always that comfortable when we feel that moment? Even if we know that God's Spirit is pushing us, driving the car, so to speak? No. The Spirit is not a comfortable thing. It asks us to do and to be so much more than what we are and who we are. See, the problem is we like what we know. We like what is known. And the problem is when we look at how we are the church, how we are and how we are supposed to be, those images don't always line up. When we look at this great image of the early church gathering together, when we look at Peter's sermon, sure, we want to recreate it. But there's a way to recreate in our hearts the moment, but not the moment entire. And to be honest, let's just call it what it is. There's a reason why we want to create or recreate that Acts 2 moment. I mean, the reality is, look what happens. Who wouldn't want this moment to re-happen, to happen again and again and again? It's a tremendous moment. But the other side is we often want to recreate it for the wrong reasons. We don't just want God's Spirit to lead us, guide us, and teach us. We don't just want God's Spirit to show us how to be the church that He has called us to be. We want numbers. We look at the growth aspect of this. How the church started out with 11 disciples and a few other believers, and we see this moment and we're like, how are we going to grow as a church? What the hell? Here's the solution. We'll just recreate this moment. Well, guess what? You can try. You can try. But without the ethos, the drawn down moment, you'll just be recreating the same thing, the same thing, the same thing. And you'll again and again and again try and tell God how God's Spirit is going to be present. Well, how's that going to work for you? How's that going to work when we try and tell God how God is going to be? Now, I've got a little 6-year-old with blue eyes and curls who would tell you that it's almost impossible to get her to do what you tell her to do, let alone tell God. So if we can't tell a six-year-old how and what way to do and be, then how are we going to tell God? That's the reality. That God will be. And so the lesson here is less to recreate it in kind, but to try and enter in openness a place where God's Spirit can move, can blow, where we're able to listen to God, where we're able to hear where God is guiding us, where God is leading us. Now, that, again, becomes very, very uncomfortable. Because, I don't know about you, but I like to drive the car I'm riding in. I like to have a measure of control. And when God's driving the car, I'm not. I think back to my initial call into ministry. Oh, no, God, you don't know what you're talking about. Not me. No, 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 no. And then it kept on for almost 10 years. Me saying, no, God, nope, 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 nope. Well, guess what? I'm here. The reality of all of this is that God's Spirit is so much more than we want it to be. It's so much more than where we want it to be. It will continually push us to be better and more than we are. It will continually help us to be the body of Christ in this world. When we pray that His kingdom would come, guess who's helping us every day for that moment to happen? But we aren't always listening. So brothers and sisters, let us listen. Let us listen and allow God to drive things. Let us let the wind blow us where God would like us to go. Brothers and sisters, a joyful Pentecost to you all. Let's have a little more red in our lives tomorrow, today, and all the days to come. Amen. You thought I was going to keep that down. Children of God, let us respond to God through our gifts.